I'm Dan.
And I'm Joey.
And this is the Celebrity Apprentice Recap.
Geraldo is like the Teflon man. Nothing sticks to Geraldo.
But this wall will be permanent.
But movable.
Permanent but movable.
Yes.
If I'm going to throw somebody under the bus, it shouldn't be a surprise to them because they got the bus schedule.
Don't go there. She done had them boobs done. Come on, stop that, can you?
Excuse me.
Sitting over there by a 7-pack of lashes on.
I don't trust her as far as I can throw her, and I can't even pick that bitch up.
We'd love to hoot her up this whole vessel.
Screw the terrorists! We've won!
You know, if they didn't write it down in their little cards, I'd like their address so I can go punch their teeth out.
Do you expect to be friends with these people after her own?
Can you grab those and take them down there, please? Either take them or get the off the boat.
Okay, guys.
So, that was that.
Welcome back to another edition of the Celebrity Apprentice Recap. This is extra special. We are doing it live right now on YouTube for those of you who can catch YouTube. I don't know if YouTube is available in all areas yet, but we've got all kinds of stuff to discuss right now, and none of it happens to be with YouTube. It's all about Celebrity Apprentice. We had a very big night. Two more celebrities went home, and Joey, our power rankings guru and all-around Celebrity Apprentice expert, I have a big question for you, and that is, did this week play out the way that you saw it playing out?
Yes and no. One person went home that I wasn't surprised to see go home, although I thought this was an opportunity for that person to prove that they had more to offer, which I think I brought up before. So I wasn't surprised in the end that person didn't. And then I was surprised that the other person went home. I didn't expect that. I thought the way that was playing out, in the second half, I thought that person was going to survive, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, I think I know exactly what you're talking about, and I wonder if there's something there in the edit that we just don't see, because suddenly it seems like it may be leaning one way, and then it's completely the other, and it almost seems like it's a foregone conclusion at that point. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I just crazy there?
I know what you're talking about. Ultimately, I think I know what happened, and we can get to that you know, part when we get there.
All right, well, let's get there. Let's start off with our first task of the evening. And this is always going to be one of those things that it's the pitfall, man. It's the pitfall. Because here we've got Sig Hansen, who has not gone yet. So you know he's got to be project manager. We're at that point where everybody has to have gone by now. He's the last guy to go, I think. And the task seems like it's perfect for him. It's to be the captain of a boat. Go ahead and captain the boat of the Circle Line over in New York City. Take a bunch of people on a boat ride. Make it a fun time. Make it, you know, a little educational, I guess. And when they're done, we'll find out which party was better. That's basically what it was. Put a party on a boat. Who is going to have the better boat party? Sig on one side, and I think this is always dangerous when it's too perfect in the wheelhouse, and on the other side, it's Brandy Glanville going for Team Infinity. Joey, what's going on here with the how do you feel about somebody getting something so seemingly perfect for them?
Well, I think what Sig said was dead on. Like, he instantly expressed some reservations. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, okay, listen, this is great because everybody's going to, you know, because this is something I could do. But on the other hand, the expectations are going to be super raised, which is always the truth. And especially after he kind of bitched about the fact that he wasn't, you know, being part of a challenge that really was something that he was comfortable with. And all of a sudden, here it comes in, like one of the deadliest catches that he's ever probably pulled into his boat on his show. And, you know, now is the beast that he just pulled in out of the water, is it too big for him to handle? And I think ultimately it probably had to be, just because it wasn't just captaining a ship. It was – anybody could have been the captain of that ship. It was being in charge of the entertainment value on the boat. It wasn't running the boat so much. I didn't see anything on there in the edit in any way that had anything to do with how the boat runs and who else actually worked any of the controls or how long they were going to be out to, you know, running around the river or whatever, and what the course was. Like, I didn't see any of that stuff. I saw very little captaining that you would think you would need for, like, you know, to be in charge of a boat.
So wait, you don't think that anybody had to go through any sea training for the Circle Line? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Joe?
I think that was probably skipped. I think they didn't have enough time to really prepare that way for those dangerous waters. But hopefully things went okay.
All right, so now we're going to go ahead and we're going to have a party on a boat. That's basically what it is, right? So both sides start getting in the planning mode. And
I just want to interject.
Yes,
again,
interject.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but I actually have my own experience on the Circle Line as a very young child.
Oh, is that right? And how did that experience go for you?
I don't know.
wait, what kind of an anecdote is this? What are you talking about? You don't know.
There's some story in my family history where my mommy and daddy, or one or two, or maybe, I don't know, somebody else took me on a Circle Line way back in like 1969 or something like that.
Wait, is the whole point of your story that at one point you were on the Circle Line? There's nothing.
That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
You've wasted everyone's time.
Sorry.
All right.
Two people.
Don't discount the many podcast listeners that we have who will also be listening.
Sorry,
to
Mom.
Yeah. So we have to come up with the theme, because we want to have a themed party, because if you're going to have a boat party, it needs to have a theme, gosh darn it. And so the first thing that happens is, of course, for Team Vortex, is that Geraldo is going to start spitting out ideas. And he has some grand ideas here, Joey. He wants to start off – he wants to do the history of America. We're going to start off with the Revolutionary War.
Yes.
And we're going to have your poor huddled masses yearning to breathe free going through Ellis Island. Oh, my goodness. And I got to say – here is where Kate Gosselin, they have been her most impressive thing the entire time she's on the show, is that she, in her confessional, she's talking about, all right, this is how you got to handle Geraldo. He's giving out crazy ideas that aren't any good. So we have to go ahead and acknowledge these ideas. We have to talk to him in a calm manner. I was so impressed with how she wrangled him. What did you think of Geraldo's ideas? Would you have gone with those?
Well, you know, I was confused about his approach. I was confused when he said, getting Mayor Giuliani in, you know, that's like two mayors ago and like 12 years ago or something. I was really like confused by some of the things he wanted. You know, having the revolutionary, you know, reenactment on on the boat didn't really make sense to me. Although Sons of Liberty is a miniseries that's currently on the air, I think, on the History Channel. So it is very topical, very timely. So maybe he was aware of that. Maybe he made a few extra bucks pulling that, you know, promoting that. I don't know. But nonetheless, it was a very weird thing. And I got to tell you, Danny, just like you said, I was really impressed with Kate's approach. She also explained it in the confessional that, you know, there's basically like four elements to how you have to be able to stop the Geraldo train when it's going. And I don't remember all four elements, but, you know, it was very small. You got to make sure that you keep your composure.
Yes.
You got to sound good. It's got to I forget the other two things she said. But in the end, she presented a very powerful argument that Geraldo kind of just went, yeah, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do the revolution anymore.
It was like she had done a Jedi mind trick on Geraldo and he did not realize it. You know, she brought up something else and he was like, yeah, you know, maybe we should scrap this whole Revolutionary War idea.
Yes.
Who came up
with
that?
Perfect.
I almost got the impression that he didn't realize that it was his idea. We should get rid of this. This is a terrible idea. Who came up with that? I don't know. Let's do something else,
I don't know
everybody.
Who came up with that one, but that's a bad idea.
All right. So instead, they come up with, because we want to tie it in to our project manager, famous for Deadliest Catch, we're going to have the Sexiest Catch?
The Sexiest Catch.
Yeah. Did you like this idea? We're going to bring in a bunch of Hooters girls, and we're gonna call this a theme and pretend like it actually is cohesive. I guess it's just, I don't know, it seemed to me like it was more just product placement for Hooters. Here you go, Hooters. Free promotion on NBC. What do you think?
At once, some of the quote, Hooter up the whole vessel. which I thought was awesome. I thought that there was something to the idea of the sexiest catch. Mm-hmm. But you don't want it to degenerate into something else, you know, and Geraldo was really big on it. He talked about how Hooters is mainstream now. And you know, they really were thinking that that was kind of, if you're going to be sexy, then you just bring in some Hooters girls and that's kind of all you do. I didn't see how it would be sexy beyond it, because sexy could have a couple different connotations. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, Hooters style. You know, there could be, you know, something a little bit classier, you know, in that phrase.
And, yes. It could be more open to interpretation is what you're saying. And I totally agree with you. Basically what they said is, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a bunch of scantily clad waitresses and this is our sexiest catch. There was nothing for women. There was nothing. There was no like speed dating going on or anything like that to get people involved. It was, we're going to have Hooters girls. We're going to have free food and some drinks and then that's it. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and I also thought there should be something a little bit deeper to the theme itself. Like, why is it the sexiest catch? Like, what are they going to catch?
Right.
You know. Yeah. So, did anybody that actually went on that cruise did they know that there was a show called The Deadliest Catch that they were playing that against? You know, I doubt it because it didn't seem like that. So it was actually an idea that had some promise, I believe.
Yes.
But they barely scraped the surface. They said, oh, Hooters girls, and then we're done. We got the theme. Mm.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. This is it. Yeah, it's Hooters girls. All right, everybody, call it a day. We're done here on the design committee. Yeah, it was ridiculously lame. But they also
I wonder if Sig, when he came up with the idea, because I think it was his idea to say sexiest catch, I wonder if Geraldo had not volunteered the Hooters thing, if Sig had something else in mind. Because, you know, the two women weren't going to help because they were against it from the beginning. But I wonder if as soon as Geraldo said Hooters girls, everything else went flying out of Sig's head.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if Sig maybe had something else in mind. Yeah, you got me there. All right, so now there's another aspect to this trip, and that is that the Circle Line, I guess it's a little tourist thing where we're going to go around Manhattan and we're going to learn about some things that are going on in Manhattan. Look,
I've done that,
this,
by the way. Sorry.
We don't have all night here, okay? We don't have all night for your memories that you don't even have. Listen, so here's what we're going to do, and this seems like a good idea. This sounds like a good idea on paper. We're going to have Geraldo Rivera narrate the tour. He's a smart guy. He's been around New York a long time. He seems to know a lot of facts. And so Geraldo starts to do his announcing. And what did you think of his announcing, Joe?
Well, in some ways, it was better than what I was worried about. You know, Geraldo, you know, sort of like laying out his ideas of what's happened, you know, around the city. That would have given me a little bit more pause, you know. Over here is where I investigated this story.
Oh, my God.
Over here is where I took down this gangster. This is where I exposed, you know, the hospital.
Okay. You know what? If he had done that, like the Jay Peterman tour on Seinfeld, if he had done that, that would have been so amazing. It would have been terrible, but it would have been so unbelievably funny. Yes, that is. This is where I took on the Satanists over here. I participated in a fake drug sting. Oh yeah, oh yeah. That would have been hilarious. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. We did get him shouting, "Screw the terrorists." We got that.
Screw the terrorists. Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. Man, Geraldo. You know, there was something else, too. When people started coming aboard the boat, the judges, the Circle Line people, did you notice that he went up to shake his hands with them while his pants were still down?
No, I did not notice that.
He was like still pulling up his pants, and he had like one hand sort of like spilling his pants, and the other hand he puts it out there.
Oh, Geraldo.
You know, we
are glossing over something real quick because I'm already in the middle of the boat trip. But while they were getting things together, you know, I have totally glossed over the Sig Hansen temper tantrum that happened.
Oh.
Yeah, he
awesome.
Was the bartenders were late, so Sig had to act as doing the bartender prep, and as he's putting things together, he's grumbling the whole time. Oh, I can't believe I shouldn't be doing this. Where are the bartenders? They're late, and then they show up and they start to do, and he just starts yelling and screaming like a crazy person.
Yep, he snapped. He completely snapped, and it was uncalled for, and it didn't make sense. He was pissed off because he said that they showed up late. Whether they did or not, I don't know. I could tell by the way that they looked on their faces, you know, they didn't seem to think that they were late. Like, they showed up, they had these big smiles on their faces, so they were like, okay, we're ready to blankety blank,
yes.
And then poof, this guy is pissed because he's been doing all this stuff. So Sig's lack of communication, which has been on display for the entire run of the series, I think rears its head again, because nobody seems to know how frustrated he is, and I'm not sure if he had enough effective communication with the help about when they were supposed to arrive, and were they really supposed to set up the bar like that? I don't know, you know, and I don't know that Sig knew, but I just know that that's what he felt, and then that's it. Boom, he smashes the bar, makes a big scene, and Sig is someone I no longer want to work for.
What's funny is that they showed that in the promos last week, and I knew that was coming, and I was thinking, oh, is this going to happen the entire time? Because that will be amazing. Like, he's just going to completely melt down because he's used to running a boat his own way, and now he's got Geraldo Rivera running a boat with him, and it's not working out. But no, it was just that one time. It was a little disappointing to me. It was just the one outburst.
Well, right. After that, he had the Hooters girls on board, so he was okay.
This is true. Yes, he had. All right. So he also has the Coast Guard come out and ride alongside the boat to give people a thrill, because that's his charity. So I understand that, and it just seemed like there was a small boat riding alongside it. Were you impressed when you saw that?
The same thing. I mean, he made this big deal about getting the Coast Guard involved, and you know. So he's the captain of this thing that he does on his show, and you know, I thought that we were going to see a whole bunch of guys on the boat. That's what I thought, you know, and maybe they would do some sort of display or demonstration or something.
Yeah.
But it's just a small boat that just sort of like races right by him. I'm not even confident that it was the Coast Guard, A, and B, that they were aware that Sig's boat was there. How do we know? It was very disappointing, because I really thought he would have had the connections to do something deeper, especially if he said, hey, listen, it's going to be great exposure. You're going to be on this TV show. Mm-hmm. And if I win, you're going to get all this money. And in the end, they disregarded him. I think they showed how little respect that they had for him, actually, you know, by sending out the B team and having the B team pretend that they don't know that they're there.
Hey, it's that Deadliest Catch guy. You're like, go run the tugboat out past the circle line, and give him a big thrill. All right, then we'll let him know that we did something about it.
What about Geraldo's favorite question when he was done with the explainer, the information part of the tour, and then he turns to the Hooters girls and kept asking them the same question: What's your favorite thing about working for Hooters?
Oh my god.
This is your seasoned reporter who has done 10,000 75-second spots and tens of thousands of interviews with state and national leaders around the world. And when he gets to the Hooters girls, he's got one question that he asks over and over again. What do you think about that, Dan?
This is an excellent point. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's done a lot in the journalism field, who's put a lot of microphones in people's faces and asked tough questions. And you know what? This just goes to show, though, he's not going to shy away from the important issue, and that is just exactly how is Hooters treating these women. That's how do they feel about this? It's a very important question. Honestly, it was Geraldo getting to the bottom of things once again, just like with Al Capone.
Right.
To get to the bottom of that vault, we're going to get right to the bottom of how you feel about your employer, Hooter, anonymous Hooters girl.
I think he got about as much out of the Hooters girls as he did out of that vault.
Yeah, you may be right about that. Yeah. Maybe right about that. All right, so let's focus on the other side, because we've got Salinas native Brandy Glanville, finally. Also, the other last person who has not been project manager. She is in charge of her boat, and when they're coming up with their theme, the first theme they come up with is a Mardi Gras theme, Manhattan Mardi Gras, and.
Right.
She doesn't like it, but she kind of goes along with it for a little while, and then she decides, no, I don't want this anymore. Did you like the idea of the Manhattan Mardi Gras?
I did like it. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it had promise. She kept, you know, getting stuck with on the fact that this is a New York thing, so you know, Mardi Gras takes place in another place. Stop pushing this down my throat. But I could see it. I'm not going to say it was a good idea, but I was starting to see the idea of it, because that would be very unique. Mm-hmm. It is a big party. It's a bit very festive, and you know, maybe they could have incorporated some elements of Mardi Gras on the boat. You know, there's a lot of alcohol flowing and some music, and while we're here, take in these sights. I don't know. I thought maybe there was something to that.
Now,
I'll tell you what I didn't like, though, was that when she decided that she didn't like it, that she really screwed up her courage to go back in there and nix it. But what she didn't do was offer another solution. She just said, you know what? No, I don't like it. So I've changed my mind. We're going to do something else. So, you know, what other ideas do you have? And then they were like spitting out some other ideas because they realized that they couldn't win, and she was shooting them all down. And I thought that was bad leadership all the way around.
Yes. Hard to disagree with that. The Manhattan Mardi Gras could have been funny if they had come up with New York ways of celebrating Mardi Gras, you know?
Okay, yeah.
You don't throw beads, I don't know. You throw, I don't even know what you would throw, rocks. I don't know, something terrible. Just make a terrible version of Mardi Gras and then call that the Manhattan version, which probably would be insulting. But I have to say, the theme that they came up with, which was Manhattan Madness. Hey, yeah. This was the theme that I thought of. As soon as they were talking about this, I thought, you know, it should be New York theme. Just put as many New York things on there, and let's call that the theme, because Circle Line is associated with New York. Obviously, it's the tour, and everybody knows somebody in New York. You've got Johnny Damon, so you already got a New York Yankee. Maybe you could call up another one to come on board. And, you know, you're off to the races there.
Okay.
So I thought that was a great theme and a great idea. But when they did it, Joe, there was, like, no theme. The theme was just, it's a party.
I didn't understand it. I was like, I kept coming back to, like, what's their theme again? Because I hardly ever heard the name of the theme. And what the hell were they doing? You know, Kenya was grinding on the floor there. Just like, what the, how was that a theme? And who were these women that were, like, her, I don't know, her backup
dancers.
Dancers, right?
Yeah, it was her.
My wife said something about that. That's like a real song that she has. Is that, do you know about this?
I don't know about it, but based on the context of the show, yes, because she did offer it up when they were talking. She said, well, you know, I could sing my song. So I gathered that it was a real song. And, and she did say, I could have my dancers come and I could perform my song. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that this woman had a song, but Brandy went along with it, which was her way of just placating Kenya, which for the most part was a good idea, because Kenya was thrilled that she would get perform that song.
Oh, yeah.
Which now I was waiting for this song, but I didn't realize that the song, it's a goof. It's not like a real song. It's just a silly song.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, wait. Are you telling me you didn't hear her sing the song?
I don't think I did. I think, you know, I was tuning out at that point.
Okay, so the lyrics are something like, people say I'm old, I say I'm fabulous. People say I'm stupid, I say I'm fabulous. Like, it was.
I didn't know, you're right. I did hear that. That's right. I did.
Yeah. It was that bad, and I realized, oh, wait a minute. It's almost like it's a parody song. It's not like it's a real song. But, yeah, she did end up on the floor and grinding. Yeah, there was no use of the New York theme whatsoever. The theme was, let's get on a boat and drink and have a good time. That was it. I don't know.
Right, which is different, though, than the Geraldo side, because, as somebody said, it's like a booze cruise with knowledge.
Wait. Was that somebody, Geraldo, who said that?
That was not Geraldo. That was like, I think, Kate.
Okay. All right.
I think it was Kate. She said, it's like a booze cruise with knowledge.
Oh, all these things are not good. You know,
it was something like that.
On Brandy's side, if you're going to get the New York theme, how is it that Johnny Damon doesn't get any Yankees? Does he not have any pull? I don't understand things like that. These kinds of things seem very simple and basic to me. You know, who do you know from the Yankees who's still around? And I don't even mean still playing. I mean just still around that you can call to just show up on the boat. I don't understand. Like, there was just no effort involved. Just no effort involved.
Well, I would, in Brandy's defense, Brandy, yes, of course, from Salinas, California.
Mm-hmm.
In her defense, I don't know that she's really knowledgeable about Johnny Damon's background. And Johnny Damon doesn't ever say a word. So it's probably not top of mind. She probably just thinks that he's a baseball player and isn't really sure who he played for. Or maybe she thinks he probably did play for the Yankees, but it was, you know, he didn't do anything. I don't know, but you're right. That is a miss. And I actually, as we've been talking about this, it made me think another possible idea could have been something to do with the Yankees, you know, as a theme.
Right.
You know, maybe they could have gone to the Yankees and had, you know, some of Damon's former teammates, maybe a current Yankee. How about a guy that would love to get some nice publicity these days?
Oh, my
Your
God.
Your friend and mine, Alex Rodriguez.
Rodriguez?
I'm just saying, like, don't you think that would be a huge get if A-Rod would show up there? Whether or not he does anything useful or not, does that even matter? Like, just to get him there? He's the big get. That could have happened.
Oh, man. You know what? A-Rod's the kind of guy that I think needs to stay out of the public light as much as humanly possible. But, yes.
He's not trying to.
It would have been a wonderful get. And he seems like he does come across as the kind of guy that if you say, hey, listen, we could really use you because you're so wonderful, that those would be the magic words for him to show up. Oh.
No. The magic words are, hey, if you come onto this boat, I'll give you this package and then you can find out what's in it later.
No, that's just terrible. Probably true. But terrible. All right, so the party goes well on Brandy's side until, of course, Kenya sings her song. And she gets a little out of hand. She starts writhing on the floor, making sex moves. And then we do get the pleasure of seeing some mother cover her child's eyes. That was
so awesome.
That was I tell you, whenever they got that shot, whoever the cameraman, he probably high-fived somebody after. Yeah. Wait, you see what I got. It's going to be great. All right. So let's take it into the boardroom, Joey. Take it into the boardroom.
Yep.
Now, did you have an idea who was going to win this one?
I thought that the Kenya team could not win. I thought that that she hurt the team too much. They didn't have a theme that made any sense. And you know, this is one of those tasks that's going to be judged on the opinion of, you know, how, you know, two or three people think as opposed to numbers or fundraising or something like that. It's like, did these people like it? And you had to be creative. And I just couldn't see how the Kenya team could win that. Hmm. What did you think?
I honestly thought that based on what I saw, just from which party looked like it was more successful, it looked like Brandy's party, the Kenya party
That's
you're talking
true.
About, it looked like that one went off better. So I was figuring that
That's
one
true.
Was going to win, and they also kind of tipped us a little bit because people were not crazy about the Geraldo narration, and that definitely came into play. So we get into the boardroom, and then we find out that, yeah, Brandy's team has won, and Sig, who of course, you know, he's the boat captain, he loses in what seems to have been something that was in his wheelhouse.
Right.
the notes that are in on what was wrong, the negative notes, one of them is about Geraldo. Now, let me put it to you this way, Joey, because that team, Team Vortex, you know, it's getting low. Sig and Geraldo seem to have become fast friends here. Who knew, right? And and even though Sig was the project manager and he lost, one of the things that's specifically listed as a reason for losing is Geraldo. Some people liked him. Some people didn't like him. Some people were offended by, screw the terrorists. He doesn't toss Geraldo under the bus at all. He never goes ahead and says, "Well, you know what, Trump? I did the best that I could. How am I expected to win when I've got Captain Boring here offending everybody by tossing out comments like screw the terrorists?"
Right. So you know, Sig, you know, did a pretty poor job of defending himself and also trying to make Trump think about someone else being to blame. Absolutely did. You know, he's sort of like just. He didn't go out the way Lorenzo Lamas did, where, you know, I think was ultimately aware of how to play the game and who he felt would probably should have been to blame and all that, but he opted not to fight. Whereas I think Sig just really didn't get it. Like, he did not know how to read it as it was coming down. You know, he couldn't tell when the train was leaving the tracks, and he just didn't have it in him to fight, you know. So, you know, in the end, it's Sig to the brig.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Did you come up with that one on your own there, Sig to the brig?
Heck yeah, baby. That's right.
That's very nice.
I'll tell you one big mistake that I put on him is that he talked about the risks that they took with going with the Hooters idea. And he said at one point, he said, no risk, no reward. And I was thinking to myself, really? Like, wait a minute. That's not exactly how this show works out. Actually, you often want to play it really safe and close to the vest and just try to be as on target tight as you can. This show isn't all about go big or go home. No risk or no reward. You know, no blood, no foul. You know, that made no sense to me. And that actually told me that this is a guy that has no ideas. So he was just going to say, oh, here's an idea. I got nothing else. I'm riding this idea horse the whole way. And man, this is the best idea in the world. And that's the way it is.
What could be a better idea than Hooters Girls? I mean, honestly.
I know, right? Yeah.
Really, right. Here's how I have it ranked, by the way, in terms of ideas. It's the wheel, the printing press, Hooters Girls. It's in the top three.
That's how I'm that, okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Now,
we need the wheel. We still do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so that's one out of three.
And honestly, the printing press, out the window. Who uses that?
Out the window. Out the window. But, you know, if the Hooters girls are bringing some wings, we need wings.
Yeah, exactly. I could use some wings right about now.
If there's any Hooters girls out there with wings right now, come on. You can fight through the storm.
Yeah, because Joey is snowed in, by the way. He's not getting anywhere, so you might as well bring him some. You could use the wings to melt the snow on the way. Just bring some sauce.
Not too hot. I don't like them too hot, Danny.
It's just there to help you get out. That's
honey
all.
Okay. Honey barbecue.
This should be noted, though. Trump fires Sig, then gives him $25,000, not because Sig asked, just gave it to him because I think you're incredible. Told him that. And then Geraldo gives him $40,000. I'm going to give you a check for $40,000, he tells Sig just before he gets on the elevator. What do you think about that?
It's pretty big of Geraldo. I thought it was interesting because it's Trump's show and they kept it in because Trump got trumped.
He got trumped
by Geraldo.
Yeah.
And they kept it in. And they didn't have to. It was like, you know, he kind of whispered it to him. It would have been pretty easy to cut out. Also, you know, Geraldo strikes me as that kind of guy. You know, he really is a tremendous supporter of people and the services and things like that. You know, sometimes I can't believe he's 70 years old. And then other times I'm like, yeah, he acts like that kind of guy. Like, he really is that sort of, you know, patriotic, you know, in an old fashioned way. And he does have a lot of money, so a phenomenal gesture. Really not surprised. I see that in him. I do honestly think he has a big heart. And I think everything he does, for the most part, it's always with the best intentions. Although it also, it often comes out annoying but and self-serving, but I guess I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, well, you know what? Every week on Celebrity Apprentice, right, I'm always checking out what's going on with Twitter. And every week, it's a Geraldo hate fest. Like, every week. You know, there's no let-up. Especially when he does something stupid. When he was going on the Circle Line and espousing all kinds of nonsense, it was just constant hate. But I'm totally with you. You know, and, all right, I'm going to say something that has nothing to do with Celebrity Apprentice. But Geraldo Rivera, his most famous story is probably the Willowbrook story, right? When he exposed that hospital that was doing terrible things. And as I know the story to be, when all of the patients were released, there was one that didn't have anywhere to go. There was like a mentally handicapped person. And that person lived with Geraldo. Like, Geraldo has that person living with him for years. Like, took some person that has no relation to him and has been living with that person for years and years, and it's never mentioned. Like, are you familiar with that story, Joe?
I'm actually not. I mean, I know all about Willowbrook, or I thought I did, but I don't know that piece. But I'm just not surprised, because I think he's that kind of guy. He is, in his mind and in his heart, he's a freedom fighter for the people. I know sometimes he can be oblivious, but then there's other things that he does that, you know, look, haters gonna hate, Danny. You know that. Yeah. You should know that of all people.
I don't know what that has. I don't know what that has to do with anything. All right, before we leave this first task.
Yep.
Donald Trump says to everybody, right? They're all sitting there, and Geraldo and Sig, and they're talking about how they're friends now. You know, I just love this guy. I feel such affection for him. Trump asked him the question. He asked him the Breakfast Club question. Well, when this is over, are you still going to be friends?
Are we still going to be
friends on Monday? What happens? That's what he asked him. I thought it was just so hilarious. What did you think of when you heard that question? Or did it strike you at all?
It did. It was like, really, you know, you're trying to push something that isn't there once again. That's all. It's like, it's sort of like he's like pushing the probe. Like, you know, he's trying to find that sensitive spot, you know, and it's like, listen, just put the tool away. There's nothing there, man.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I thought it was so funny. It was such a, I don't know, childish question to ask.
Yeah.
All right, so our next task, and this is...
By the way, I just want to interject. Mm. Did you notice that they didn't actually bring – they didn't make Sig bring people back to the boardroom?
Yes, and I'm wondering if that's just how it's going to be, because we're just that far down. You know, there's only a couple of people
left. I think so, because they did that in the next task as well. But I noticed that he just kind of, you know, went for it, which, you know, they could have, you know, to be a critic of the show in this case, they could have told us that, you know, because – I'm waiting for him to bring two people in, you know.
I thought about it as well. So it's not just you, but look, I figured it out pretty quick. I'm glad that they did not do that, because then it's just like, you know, one person's going to go out, you know, just do it,
right,
get it over with, you know.
Right. And then right after that happens, I think it was Kate that said, we're fading fast, we're disappearing. They're concerned because they've lost three or four of these tasks in a row now. Lisa, once again, she was a rock star, you know, ranked number one last week in my power rankings, of course. She was a rock star once again for the winning team, you know, just the way that she handled things, being that support person. And she did her own sort of, info tour, you know, for the guests on the boat. But she was the one that accurately predicted that there would be a shakeup of the teams, because it was down 5-3, I think, that the numbers were.
Yes, that's right.
You don't hear anybody else talking about that. It's Lisa that's always figuring stuff out.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. She had another strong week where, you know, she was good behind the scenes. She had a task of doing the hosting on the boat. And you could tell that it must have been pretty good, because they didn't really show much of it. They just showed her doing it. You know, there was nothing all that goofy to show you. You know, you got all kinds of Geraldo screen time of him saying all kinds of things, and because, you know, they want you to get the feeling, yes, this is not going over very well. This is going over like a lead balloon. But with Lisa, it was just, yes, I'm talking, and I'm telling you about this, and I'm telling you about that. You know, just real quick shots. All right. Yep. So task two is a Trump-themed task. It is for the Trump National Doral. And please, please get that name straight. Do not call it something else.
You would think that, you know, knowing who he is, what he's about, the things he focuses on, that ought to be top of mind. Get the most basic elements accurate, right? Because that could come up to embarrass you later. But here's something I thought was funny. When he was talking about it, so, you know, they're at the top of this building. It's heavily walled. The walls are high around them, either glass walls or whatever they are. And he likes to point this out because he gets a lot of criticism, apparently, and we know he's sensitive to criticism. He gets attacked often about his hair, whether it's fake or whether it's real and stuff like that.
Yes.
And he says to his hair to prove that his hair is real. And when he does that, I notice that his hair isn't moving. And nobody's hair was moving. So he took this opportunity to talk about how all this wind, this being in this wind tunnel, this vortex in front of him that's, you know, knocking people left and right, and his hair isn't coming off. There was not a strand of hair moving on anybody out there. Did you notice that?
I did take a look at his hair. Yep, there it was, and it was just kind of flopped up in its same kind of state, you know, just the ends moving slightly. I did not notice that nobody else's hair wasn't moving. I didn't think about it.
Geraldo's hair moved a little bit, maybe, but that was it. Like, that was not a great opportunity, like he thought, to prove, hey, I've got real hair.
it's good that we could finally put that to rest. Next, we'll find out why his face is orange. I want to know that one. It's not?
In the tanning task.
Oh, in the tanning task. All right, so before this task begins, Kenya gets moved on over to Vortex. Now we're getting – we've split up Brandy and Kenya, and you've got Geraldo, Vivica, Kenya, and Kate on one side, and you've got Ian – no, don't call me Ian. You've got Brandy is still over there, and who else is still over there, Joey? Help me out here.
Lisa
is – wait, but there's somebody else. Who am I forgetting? Johnny Damon. Of course.
Forgettable.
Wait a minute. Did I forget Johnny Damon? Amazing.
It's hard to believe, right?
I can't believe that happened just now.
How would that happen?
So those are the teams that are set, and this is one of – this task happens every year. It's probably one of my least favorite ones. It's make some sort of interactive – presentation. We're going to give you a big space. You're going to fill it up with crap. And the idea is that we're pitching the Trump National Doral, which is a big fancy resort that you and I could only be in there if we were lost. And then they would just shoo us right out. Or they would hand us the brooms. And it has a nice golf course. It's this big, luxurious resort. So make an interactive display. And then the Trumps, as in the Eric and Donald Jr. are going to come in. They'll evaluate, and they're going to be the judges. Can they not get actual sponsors anymore on the show? Is that what the problem is here? Is that why Trump's just pushing his own crap?
It could be that, but I don't think it's that. Because, you know, they could spread out some of the other sponsors that they had. Like, they had the GoPro sponsor, you know, in addition to somebody else that they could have used later. I think this is more about the Trump empire not doing so well lately. And he's doing everything he can to just prove to people that, oh my gosh, you know, everything that we do is wonderful and it's done right and our brand isn't failing. It's still powerful. And I feel like that's been a strong message more than ever this season. You know, he's had a lot of bad press lately, you know, here in the New York area, you know, with the casinos closing down in Atlantic City and things like that. And I've just been too sensitive to it, but I feel like, you know, he's talking a lot or taking some opportunities to do the Trump pump, if you will. Talk about how wonderful his brand is. And that's what I think is going on there.
Okay, fair enough if that's what it is. All right, so this is our task. And Ian is going to be the project manager over there on Infinity. And then it's going to be Kate Gosselin on Team Vortex's side, which I was a little surprised at the choice of Kate for this one. Not that I had somebody else in mind, but okay, that's fine. She's the one who stepped up. Now, wait, before I start with this, what do you think of these kinds of tasks?
You know, as far as, you know, promoting a Trump brand, is that what you mean?
No, I mean just the idea of where they're going to take a space and they're going to make it an interactive display.
You know, those are ones that I don't get that excited about. You know, it's not me. It's not something I would be into. Mm-hmm. And yeah. If I had to run that task, I would sort of be, you know, I would be lost. You know, none of that speaks to me in any way. You know, and we saw some of the ideas that they came up with. They talked about the, I think it was Ironside, where they had the, what did they call that? The book? It wasn't a book. It was like the pop-up book. What was that? It was all the big pictures that were lined up next to each other.
I don't know what that was. It, you know what it looked like? It looked like when you go into the Walmart and you're by the kids section, they've got all those posters and you can flip through the posters.
Yes.
That's what he did.
Yes.
He did the
That's
little
exactly
poster display.
What I was thinking. Yeah. Oh, here's the Journey album. Right? Here's REO Speedwagon. Right? Oh, here's a big picture of Wolverine. That's what I thought exactly. And yet, I'll tell you what, my wife over here was going, oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, is that right? Did you mention REO Speedwagon when you said that to her? Because it might have changed things. It might have changed my perspective, by the way.
No.
Good of you to tip everyone off as to just how old you are with your REO Speedwagon reference.
People might be able to get a glimpse of that right now. So I don't think it's going to be a shock.
All right. So anyway, this is what the task is. Now, let's start with, I guess, let's do the Vortex side. Let's go ahead and focus on how things go for Kate Gosselin. She's in charge. She's the project manager, although Kenya certainly feels as though she's well-suited to this because she lives a life of luxury. She understands luxury more than anybody else on the planet, certainly more than anybody else on her team. But Kate is in charge, and Kate just kind of pushes ahead with what it is that she's going to do. And she's not going to be intimidated by Kenya or anybody else. In fact, she takes Kenya and Vivica and does that thing that you do with people you want to get rid of. Go to the prop store. Go buy some crap at the prop store.
Right. And I wasn't sure. Look, it's great to do that to Kenya. And it was a great idea. And in fact, later on, you know, Kate talked about that they got the drama out of there, you know. Mm-hmm. But Vivica? You know, Vivica's her supporter, and I think that you would want Vivica there with you.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I think that you would have – if you were going to do that to get rid of Kenya, you would have sent Geraldo with her because I don't know how helpful Geraldo was going to be. I mean, who's going to be more helpful to show off some luxurious brand, Geraldo or Vivica? You know, I mean
– In her defense, she may have thought – it would be too hard to push both Geraldo and Kenya out the door for that menial task.
Maybe. I don't know. She's the project manager. She could do whatever she wants. So
yeah,
I was impressed when they're showing her looking at the big giant space that she has to fill, and she seemed to know what she wanted. Okay, we're going to put this here. We're going to put that there. Yeah. We're going to put because I had no idea. I'm just looking at this big blank space. I don't even know what we're going to do. But she seemed to have a handle as to what was going on. The drama that's coming in is with Kenya, who's totally insulted by – she felt like she's, you know, being slighted by being sent to the prop store. I got the prop store snub. How dare you?
Yep.
And she's tooling around with Vivica. And so what she's going to do is just, well, I will take this opportunity to show everybody how terrible Vivica is. So she's sending Kate texts over and over again.
Ping.
Yes.
Ping.
Yeah, they just have that sound effect going over and over again, that. Every so often. Huh? Oh, look, here's another text. It's Vivica stinks. Oh, okay. Here's another text. Vivica is telling people I got my period. Oh, you know.
It's another moon cycle.
Yes, the moon cycle has arisen again. I don't know. It seemed like a mess, but I will say. As her side got to be put together, and they did have the one idea that I thought was interesting, which was the blue monster.
Yep.
not, and I've heard of it. I live down here. I live down not too far away from Doral, where this resort actually is. And I've heard of the Blue Monster at that golf course. And so what they, their idea.
My Blue Cup? You mean my Blue Cup? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't want to.
It's a big cup. I wouldn't call it a monster.
Listen, I don't want to talk about your cup. All right. Just keep that where it's supposed to. And honestly, I don't know if you know, you're not supposed to drink out of those things. All right. You're not supposed to drink out of your cup. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just put that where it's supposed to, all right, Pally? All right, so anyway, they come up with the idea of we're going to make the Blue Monster into a little character for kids. I thought that was kind of neat. It was also the kind of thing that could have gone either way. They could have looked at it like it was a little silly, but I thought it was kind of neat. Yep. But then when I saw her side, right, when I saw her finished product, I was really underwhelmed. What did you think when you saw everything said and done, when you saw all everything put together?
I don't know. I didn't have any opinion about how either side put their thing together. I really didn't. I was watching. I was more interested in the interaction and stuff like that. But I really, was not interested in how well the demonstration looked at the end, how impressive it looked or how effective it was. I just couldn't be less interested.
All right. So since you're not so interested in that, let's start talking about what happens over on Ian's side. Ian, yep. Who is just constantly talking about how this is, oh my God, he talks so much. There's so much self-importance going on when Ian speaks about how
But there's something very, very important that he said. And I quote, "If I'm going to throw somebody under the bus,
yes,
it shouldn't be a surprise to them because they've got the bus schedule."
I'll tell you what, that was such a good quote. It was such a legit, really good line from him. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was a great line. For the most part, things went pretty good on his side. There was much less drama going on. You had a couple of things. Johnny Damon does offer to do something for once. I could get a golf pro in here, and he will show people how to teach, he'll give a little golf lesson. That's a great idea, except nobody answers the phone when Johnny Damon calls for some reason.
Oops. And he even says, wasn't it Damon that said, "What was I thinking?"
Yeah, I think it was. Yes, yes. And so when he has to, and so Ian has to get a golf pro in, and Ian does it himself. How terrible is that?
It wasn't like a real golf. It was a different kind of. It was the kind of golf pro that works at a course and to teach about your swing and stuff like that. Where I think Johnny Damon was actually offering someone from the tour.
Yes,
he was. Celebrity. No one was picking up the phone. Which was kind of funny because just before that, when basically they like had their huddle and they break, Ian said something to the effect of, "All right, everybody, you need to keep your phones on." Do you remember him saying that you need to keep your phones on?
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, it was when people were leaving to get stuff or whatever. Right? He said, "Make sure you keep your phones on." And I was thinking to myself, what? Like, who doesn't keep their phones on anymore? Like, What does that mean, keep your phone on? Do you know anybody that, like, turns their phone off?
I will tell you, I do deal with some people who keep their phone on silent all the time, and that can be very frustrating. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe he's had an experience with some people who end up disappearing. Maybe he's thinking specifically of Brandy Glanville, who might have a panic attack and disappear. And you don't hear from her until she calls you. Well, when she's safe in her hotel room, don't worry.
And then
thank
she
God.
Calls you, but she says, "Hey, listen, I've got $40,000 for you. I'm okay with that."
True. But yes, but maybe he was worried about where her whereabouts were. It was a while.
Sure. Oh yeah, he's the kind of guy that worries. I could tell.
He is the kind of guy that worries. He most definitely is. And don't you portray him as someone who doesn't worry, lest you'll hear about it in a very verbose manner.
Yes, but I am basically. Got upset with Johnny Damon, and he was pissed off that that he offered this one thing and then he didn't deliver. And then he actually says, "Don't put it out there unless you can deliver." And then he goes and he comes up with it himself.
I am zero.
Which actually, I thought, okay, so that part was pretty good. I thought that was good. And, you know, and of course he's this control freak and he's really happy about what he did. He got this, this painting, this sketch of Trump that was on a book or something from his buddy. He's really proud of it himself. Lisa knows that he's proud of him. So she kind of like, you know, pumps up his ego a little bit, says, "You're so amazing, you know, with how you can, you know, source these people and come up with all this stuff. Well, you know, I've had many years of, you know, doing favors for people. You know, I'm this famous guy and that goes all the way back to my days at the Peach Pit. You know how many times I gave somebody an extra shake when I was working there?" It's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about? No one knew who you were until Sharknado came out. Oops. And then when it did, they said, "Oh, the Beverly Hills Enter 210 guy." They didn't say, "I am Zero." That didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny about that Sharknado thing. You know, it's just like with the casting of that, it's, well, what husband do we have this week to star in the giant shark versus mecha octopus? Right? He just happened to star in one of the ones that hit. He starred in the one that kind of crossed over because it was so completely, its absurdity was to such a level that it actually crossed over. All of the other ones.
It's not like he's being lauded for great work.
Yes.
Right? It's like, hey, this is a kooky, funky, stupid thing, but we like it.
Yes, that's correct. That is correct. Yeah, and it's funny because at the time they filmed this, it's in between the Sharknados. Like Sharknado 2 hasn't come out yet, which is set in New York, by the way. Have you seen Sharknado 2, which is set in New York?
I haven't seen it. Not gonna.
Well, Sharknado 2 does feature Judd Hirsch playing a taxi driver, just so you know. Just thought I'd let you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good information.
Yes.
Is he driving the taxi in a blizzard?
No, not in a blizzard, but he's driving it during a Sharknado. What don't you understand? It's the name of the movie. It's a tornado with sharks.
Well, I don't know. They're crazy sharks, man. Maybe they fly out of the ocean because it's so cold, and then they have the ability to like swim their way through the snow. I don't know. It's Sharknado, dude. What do I know?
Yeah, it's shark. It's not Shark Blizzard. That's not what it is. That would be Shark Blizzard. They haven't made that one yet. That's the third one.
Shark Blizzard.
That's the next one. Shark Blizzard coming soon. Look for it winter 2015. Shark Blizzard. Starring Ian Ziering.
Maybe 2015.
Ian Ziering and Johnny Damon are filming it right now. It's going to be very exciting. So
with GoPros.
With misused GoPros. They're going to take the GoPro and release it into the storm to get unique perspective. So there is the one little drama that they feel – this is I looked at it as an example of how little drama there was on his side, that at one point several team members liked this one sign that, of course, Ian had made. It was a sign that said Doral in flowers. Yep. Just like the one that's over there on the Axwell Golf Course down here in South Florida. And he had it kind of back into towards the back of the whatever the exhibit is. And everybody else decided, hey, you know what would be a good idea if we put it in the front because it's such a nice sign. So Brandy goes to move it, and then Ian catches her like he's dad, and it becomes a little bit of an issue. And when I say a little, it really is just a little bit of an issue. And honestly, to me, that's just saying, well, this was the best that we have as far as drama goes.
Yeah. But, you know, he did – it showed once again, you know, it did give me a glimpse of a few things, of the dynamics at play. So they're afraid of Ian, or at least Brandy's afraid of him, you know, because she can't just go up to him and say, hey, listen, you know, why'd you put that there? Because it would, it's a great sign. You know, you should put it up. It was like the way Brandy handled it was like the exact opposite of way Kate handled Geraldo. Like she didn't think that through. She had this feeling.
Yeah.
She didn't like what he was doing. And then she just went the shortcut, you know, emotional way and said, you know, screw it. Well, I'm just going to move it. And then Ian shows up. You're right. It is all of a sudden like, here's dad. When he gets all pissed off. And she tries to explain, and as she's stammering her way through it, she can't make an effective argument. She looks like an idiot, and he's like, just leave it there, and then that's it. So, like, I think that she didn't understand why he put it there. And, you know, listen, Ian's the kind of guy, like him or hate him, you got to know or you got to think that any decision that happens under his watch is done for a reason, that it's not just sitting there, you know, because it just sort of looks good, that he's got some sort of thought behind it. And so if you're going to challenge him on something, then you just better be prepared. She wasn't fit. She looked like she didn't look great. And, you know, and yeah, so, you know, here's Ian. Like, seriously, why did you touch it?
Yeah, because, you know, when she did touch it, it did kind of fall a little bit. It got a little askew, yeah, and it was like, oh, my goodness. Now, wait a minute, a petal fell off of it. What have you done? Do you see what you've done to the beautiful Doral sign? Damn you, woman.
Yes. It brought me all the way back to my youth when one of my brothers once went ahead and touched one of my Billy Joel albums, and I could tell. Why would you touch my Billy Joel album? Yeah, so I could see. I was feeling Ian right there. I really was.
You know, listen, first of all, you might want to rephrase that sentence. Secondly, I don't know that you want to necessarily put yourself in with Ian. I mean, if you want to go ahead and compare yourself with Ian, that you relate and understand the Ian Ziering's of the world, you go right ahead. Good luck with that.
Ian Ziering, very high in the Celebrity Apprentice rankings. Why wouldn't I want to be right there with him?
I'm just going to move on at this point. All right. So we get to the end, and honestly, to me...
You can be outside. It's okay.
All right. I knew who won. Like, to me, this one was an absolute no-brainer. It was a no-brainer. I'm going to guess this wasn't the same for you, though, because you barely looked at what was going on, at what they had put together.
It was kind of like that. I mean, I guess I would have thought that Ian won because it seemed like he... You know, he had the – I was really – I guess the thing that made the most – two things that stood out to me between the two teams, and they were both an Ian sign. It was the Doral sign, the touch of that. And I guess three things, you know, that sketch of Trump, you know, that seemed to resonate with Lisa and some other people as to be a big deal. And thirdly, the golf pro. I mean, the golf pro was good. You know, they showed him there where he wasn't just some guy, you know, saying with a name tag that said golf pro, you know, like he was analyzing golf swings and, you know, and he was interesting. You know, he analyzed some guy's golf swing and said, basically what you want to do with that putter is use it in the fireplace.
Oh, I did not even hear that. No, really?
Yeah. He said that swing was so bad that like that's a situation where you want to take that club and actually use it in the fireplace.
Wow, that's rough, man. Holy cow.
I might be butchering the quote a little bit, but it was along those lines. So this guy was good. He came across like a pro, like he knew what he was talking about. And I think he added something that was really interesting for people, aside from just looking around like as if they were in a museum going, ooh, look at that. Ooh, that's – I like that Kramer over there on that wall. And hey, here's what I see over here, you know. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was okay. So I would have thought that I would have won. That's what I would have thought.
All right. So we get down to the boardroom and we find out – that it's one of those rare weeks where it wasn't even close, according to Trump. Usually it's, you know, they like one team a little bit more than the other one. No, it was not that.
But remember, this particular task is being judged by the Trumps.
It is, yes, by Donald Jr. and by Eric Trump.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are sitting there with him. They're the judges and the advisors. And the both of them were in agreement that it was not close and that Ironside had won. Now, before we get to that, Joey, Ian, while talking to Mr. Trump, butchers the name. Calls it the Doral Miami blah blah
which
blah.
Which we alluded to at the beginning of this show tonight.
Yes. And Trump does not take that blunder very well. In fact, after that blunder, even though he already knows that Ian has won, he starts putting the screws to Ian a little bit. Hey, well, who would you get rid of? Well, everybody on the team worked great. Well, then, so I should fire you, because if everybody worked great, you're the project manager, so maybe you're the one that needs to go. He already knows that Ian has won. He's just so – I think he just got so annoyed at that moment.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right, because I also think at this stage of the game we're down to the final eight, and I believe – I mean, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I think. I believe that Trump is very interested in making sure he's keeping the best people on the show now. It's not really about anymore whether or not you performed the best or didn't perform the best. It is now keeping the show as interesting as possible. He ain't letting Ian go. It makes sense to go ahead and go after him. And part of him is fueled by that, because that really does bother his ego. There's no question about that, right?
Yeah.
You can't get his name wrong.
No, don't get his name wrong. And so he gets Ian to go ahead and toss up Johnny Damon. Well, you know, if I got to name somebody, Johnny Damon really stunk. So there's that.
He did do that.
Yeah, he did. Johnny Damon couldn't get a golf pro in. I had to go call my buddy down at the country club to step in. I had to call the.
And do you remember how he did that? He's like, well, if you're going to force me to find somebody, yeah, I can do. Because at first, Ian didn't want to do it. He's like, oh, no, everybody's great. No. Well, you know, then it falls on the project manager. It's like, wait a minute. That guy over there, that Johnny Damon guy, he'd be the guy. He'd be the weak spot.
I barely even know that Johnny Damon. I'm not even.
Yeah. Whoever that dude is over there.
Yeah. I don't know who he is, but he was terrible. He barely showed up. Holy cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So. Like I said, though, Ian ends up. I'm sorry?
Flip over to the other side with Kate.
Well, let's do it, because over on the other side, oh my God. This was amazing, okay? This was really amazing on the other side. We've already said that Ian won. But on the other side, as it deteriorates, and that side is lost, and now it's going to get ugly, here's what was so amazing to me, Joey, is that. As everybody is talking, as all the ladies are talking, and all three women were talking, Geraldo, if you just watched him, was quiet as a church mouse and was staring straight ahead. Just quiet and stare and barely spoke at all. Did you see the look on his face as it swirled around him? Yeah.
He just, you know, I think that he really knew that he was safe. And I think that he's actually become smarter about the game as the game has gone along. Like, I think he was really arrogant about the game early on. And then he started to get a little bit more frightened about things. Like, you know, it got a little bit close. That fundraising task against Ian, that at some point in there, he got nervous and he started thinking, oh crap, you know, this is for real and I could get embarrassed. And I think that those thoughts kind of went through his head a little bit. And I think ever since then he's been more careful. And I think in this particular moment he knew that it was best to keep his mouth shut, because he was not involved in this in any way at all.
Yes.
At least in terms of anything that was negative, it was all with Kenya, and he was on the girls' team, and it appeared like it was going to be this girl drama, to quote Kate, between Vivica and Kenya. And, you know, and then of course Kate is the project manager and he's the only dude on the team. Mm-hmm. And they're all just, you know, it's a cat fight. And so stay out of it, you know, just like watch it all unfold and someone's going to come out all scratched up. I think that's what was going in through Geraldo's mind.
Well, the way the women started out with was impressive, because Kenya shows up and she starts talking about the other women on the task, and she starts talking about how wonderful everybody was. Do you remember this? It honestly came across as the fakest thing in the world. Yeah. Like nobody could believe anything that she said. Oh, well, you know, Kate was just a wonderful project manager and I got along with everybody so well.
Sure.
It was vomit inducing what was going on there.
Right. It's very much, you know, one of these reality, you know, stars kind of moments, you know, where they play the game in a very rudimentary kind of way. You know, it's very transparent and they think it's not. They think they're pulling one over on you and they don't really have a lot of depth to their game. And I actually think that Kenya has a lot of depth in terms of skills and things that she has to offer, but she's got to at some point look around and say, listen, everybody hated me on the last team. Now everybody hates me here. It can't just always be everybody else.
I don't think she's concerned about anybody hating her. She as long as she survives, that's the only thing that matters. I don't think she's.
I'll tell you what, she's a phenomenal survivalist. When it looked like she was going to go down a couple times there, she fought back very successfully. She brought up some great facts in her favor. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, here's what I think. I think that Kate's undoing here is the fact that she was convinced that she wasn't going home and that it was going to be between Vivica and Kenya and that it was likely to be Kenya. And I think Kate was sort of like, I'll just stay up here above the mountain and let the riffraff down here fight it out. I think that this riffraff is going to lose, but in the end, I don't have to get too involved. And I think that's why she went down. And I think that she was an easy target because the reason that Trump fired her is because she didn't bring enough fireworks to the show, because really, Kenya should have gone home. Would not agree with me?
Oh, the way that they were spilling it out, right? They were definitely pointing all of the fingers at Kenya. And it was not just Kate, because it was Vivica and the two of them, Vivica and right. Kenya, totally got into it yeah. while sitting there. Geraldo was pretty much going to stay as neutral as possible. But yes, you definitely had two people pointing and saying, look, this is the problem. And it was also, we can't work with her. She is right. difficult. She's right. going to cause right. drama. She's going to cause problems the entire time. We keep losing. This albatross is not helping. This is the problem. And yeah, it still didn't go that way. Kenya did get to toss out there that, well, you know what? I am more valuable than Vivica because I beat her head to head.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. There was another great fact that she brought up. That was yeah. awesome, right? But here's where Trump is right now. And I think if you are a celebrity that's competing on the show, actually, if you're just anybody competing on the show, regardless of whether or not Celebrity Apprentice or regular apprentice, you have to know who the pariah is, if there is one. Yes. If there is a person like that, a person that's spunky, doesn't know how to handle personal relationships and get along with people and stuff like that, and is constantly, you know, starting, you know, wars and personal fights with people and stuff like that, Trump is probably going to like that person and value that person. And that was exactly, I think you brought this up on a recent podcast, Danny, that's exactly how Omarosa kept surviving.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And isn't Kenya just a – the 2015 version of Omarosa?
Oh, she no doubt is. She no doubt. Right? I mean, she's a little bit less abrasive, which should just let you know just how terrible Omarosa was.
I know, right?
Omarosa yeah. was just anything said to her was going to be an argument, was going to be a problem. It was honestly just unbearable the last time that she was on.
And Kenya's more talented, too, overall. Kenya has more mm-hmm. – she's got more going for her, I think.
She certainly seems like it, yeah. No doubt about yeah. it. I mean, if I got to choose one, if you got to choose one to watch or to work with, it's clearly going to be Kenya. Now,
there's no question.
Yeah. And so Trump goes ahead and fires Kate. And when he fires Kate, it certainly seemed like there was this conversation that was going on that was slanted towards Kenya. But then all of a sudden, we just started into the yeah. speech. And Kate is yep. sitting there looking like she's defeated, like she knows it's coming. Yep, here it is. And
I'm going to disagree with you. I think that she didn't know it was coming. I think that she didn't realize the train was leaving the tracks. I think that she thought the conversation was still happening. Maybe you're right. But you know, she definitely didn't fight back. She didn't like push against that train that was coming. But the reason that I'm disagreeing with is because at the end she said at least two times that that she was surprised, that she can't believe that it happened. I forget what the quote was, but she was stunned by the fact that she was the one who got fired. And I would like to think, and maybe I'm wrong, that if she thought it was going that way, that she would have said, wait, listen, no, this is what happened. Blah, blah, blah. It's Kenya. Like try to stop that train from going there. What do you think, Danny?
I don't know. I think that maybe she was surprised because initially going into the boardroom, she thought that, you know, all right, if I lose, it's not going to be me. You know, the look on her yeah. face as you put it perfectly, as the train was leaving the station, she looked like she was like, yep, here it comes. I'm just going to say, maybe she's just got a defeated look on her face all the time and I'm not aware of it.
She kind of does to me.
But yeah, she's got this look of, oh, I've had 8 children come out of my
exactly.
body. I'm
yes.
so tired all the time. I don't know, but Yeah, she looked defeated. She looked like she was expecting it at that point. I'm sticking with that. She was surprised. All right, I was gonna say she felt it coming. She felt the loss. They cut something out where you know some great case was made against her, and she could no longer defend herself. And the train started to roll down the tracks, and she could. Oh no, this is it. I'm done for. I thought that I had it. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
That's my spin.
Well, in the end, the train leaves the station, runs right over her. That's the end of Kate.
That is the end of Kate, but not before we do get to hear Vivica say regarding Kenya, she had them boobs done.
Right. In fact, she said that she had a couple of other things done as well, I believe.
Yes, I think she did. Yeah, well, you know, Kenya dropped the plastic surgery bomb first is what it was, you know. Well, I haven't had a bunch of work done. Oh, ho, ho. She had them boobs done. Busted that out. Lest you think that those things were real. No, no, America.
I'll tell you what, I'm not sure that she did because Kenya keeps, you know, she denied it, you know, and Kenya strikes me as the kind of person who would say, yeah, I did, so what? I can afford it, and I look great. Don't you think Kenya would do that?
You know what? You have a point there. She does strike me that way. I honestly have no idea.
There's no way to really know, but, you know. Anyway.
All right, so...
So...
Yes.
Next week.
Oh, my God.
The teaser for next week. Is that incredible? That's got to be the best teaser in the history of the show.
The teaser for next week is the best teaser in the history of any show of all time. It was the greatest teaser. When they showed the teaser for next week, which you haven't seen it, the teaser for next week involves a situation in the boardroom with Vivica and Kenya, and apparently Trump has caught on that Vivica has tweeted out something negative. I don't know what. That I saw Trump's toupee. I don't know what it was. But she tweeted out something, right?
Oh,
and
boy.
Trump finds it, and he's in the boardroom, like, again, like he's the teacher. He's like, all right, explain yourself. And Vivica says, that wasn't me. Somebody took my phone and did it. And she puts the finger right on Kenya. Oh, my God.
He sure did. Yes.
And next week, it's Twittergate 2015.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. They put out the hashtag. It's PhoneGate.
No, there's a hashtag for it? Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So when you and I talked about this earlier, I actually didn't hear the Twitter part. I don't know how I missed that. But I heard her – what I saw was Vivica point to Kenya when she said, somebody stole my phone. And then she points to Kenya. Actually, be more like this. Someone pointed it, right? Yeah. And so I just knew that somebody's phone had been stolen. I didn't know about the Twitter thing until you and I talked,
Before
we went on the air. And that makes it even better. But yes, it's hashtag PhoneGate, not hashtag DeflateGate. No.
Please.
It's PhoneGate.
Please, can we discuss the things that actually matter in the world, like PhoneGate?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up something that trivial. I apologize.
All right. Now, there was also some other Celebrity Apprentice news that came out today. The season has been extended by a week or two episodes. So, where it was before this week, they've been saying three episodes left. It's actually three episodes left from today. So the season finale is now going to be February 16th, and the last episode will be the live one. So that is now set in stone.
Do you know that it's going to be live, though? Yeah. I know that here in the past it's been live, but is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact. That announcement was made today.
Okay.
Yeah, so they only had it scheduled up until another 3 weeks, but now they've added a week, and I'm guessing the first hour is going to be whatever that last task is, and then the last hour will be that live thing that they do. It's always impressive people show up to watch that. But yes, that is our news. Now, I should ask you this. I'm going to pose a scenario to you because I want to know what you think about this. Because in the last task, right, when it's always two people going head-to-head, and let's just say that the last two people are Ian and Lisa, which is a possibility, correct? It's a possibility?
Well, I guess according to you, maybe not to the power rankings guru, but okay. I'll go with your scenario.
I'm just going – all right, listen.
I'll go with your layman's scenario.
Okay. All right. So when they do this for the last task, they always, all right, here's what we're going to do. Well, because you're the last person left. Well, you need a little bit of help, so we found some friends for you. And it's always like five people who have been fired, right? It's always that's who we're going with.
That's when you see LaToya and Dennis Rodman and Strawberry coming to help you out.
Yeah, it is always such a hodgepodge of useful people and completely useless people who show up, right? So if you're Trump and you're helping out Ian, do you give him Geraldo? Like if Ian is there and he's waiting to see people come, he's waiting for Lorenzo to come to walk through, right? Maybe here comes Johnny David, and then there's Geraldo. How does that go? What do you think at that moment?
Okay, when they do that, refresh my memory, Danny. And when they do that, do they assign the newcomers to each team, or do they get to pick?
No, they assign them.
Okay, so then that's fair. So then here's the problem with that scenario is that, like, it's easy to put Geraldo on that side and potentially see some fireworks and stuff like that. What are you going to do on Lisa? Everybody loves Lisa,
so what you do is you just go ahead and do it for Geraldo's side and or for Ian's side and don't worry about it. And whatever happens with Lisa is going to happen with Lisa anyway.
How about you just put all the losers with Lisa? Lisa gets all the athletes. She gets the Olympic athletes.
The Olympian. You know? Yes.
She gets Johnny Damon again. She gets all these people that are pretty useless.
Basically anybody. Anyone who is in the sporting field at all, please go and report to Lisa again. Yeah, so Canseco could show up. Daryl Strawberry could show up. Yes.
Lou Ferrigno
could show up. Yes. And just for fun, not an athlete, but go ahead, David Cassidy, get on over there.
David back.
Help out, David Cassidy. Yes. All right. Now, as always, when the show ends, they're always riding away in the car, and they're always telling you. And they have to say the same stupid line, all of them, the same stupid line. Tune in tomorrow.
Nope, not always. There was one person that did it different. I forget who it was, but there was one person that didn't follow the script.
They did not say to hear my side of the story.
I think it was Jamie Anderson, and she just said, you know, tune in tomorrow to see what I have to say. I forget how she said it, but I know you're right because I paid attention to that. They're obviously, you know, following that script, but it was one person that did not this season, and it was either Jamie or Sean.
I really hate that they're all using that exact same phrase. It makes me
I know, especially when sometimes it really there's nothing there.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, my side of the story, Lorenzo Lamas. Yes, I knew that I lost and I didn't want to throw anyone under the bus, so I quit. That was my side.
You're right. Tune in tomorrow to hear what I said exactly tonight.
Yes. Complete waste of time. I watch the Today Show every morning. I never catch anybody on there from Celebrity. I always miss it. And then I'm never upset that I've missed it. I've never gone back to look for this. Have you ever watched anybody?
You can look it up on the internet to find out all the amazing things that they had to say? No. All the new revelations?
Yeah, no. And surprisingly enough, the new revelations from Gilbert Gottfried, I missed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually watched a couple of them. You know, there's really nothing. I saw the Keisha Knight Pulliam one, which was mildly interesting. They're all saying the same things that they said in the boardroom. It's not like that they don't get a chance to tell their side of the story anyway, right? You're in the boardroom, you're defending yourself for, you know, a good portion, a good percentage of the show or of the task anyway.
Yes.
You know, it's like 8% of the time that you're on the air, maybe 10% of the time you're on the air where you're defending yourself. You got the confessionals. There's really nothing we don't know, you know.
It really isn't.
they got to do it. And then the other thing that's interesting about that is that they got to come back a year later, right? Actually, a year plus later and do it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
The show was shot so long ago.
That's true.
You know, so like they got to make sure that they're watching the episode that they got fired from, or else they're not going to remember what the hell happened.
Oh my God, how great would that be? So tell us your side of the story. Let's see. My side of the story. What was the task? Well, wait, which one was it? Which one did I get fired on again?
Yeah. Okay, who was on my team again?
Yeah, wait a minute. I didn't win Celebrity Apprentice? I don't remember.
I thought I won. Yeah. Are you sure I didn't win? Maybe that's the story I'm going to tell. Let me tell you how I should have won. Maybe I did win.
That's the story that you tell. But I said, no, actually, I won. You just didn't show it that way. So, yes. That's how crazy the edit is. You just don't realize it.
Yes.
All right, I think we've beat this horse to death. Let's get the hell on out of here. Joey, say goodnight to everybody for us.
Audience, you're fired.
Oh, very nice. Tink.
I heard it.
And now it's just you and me, handsome.
I hear it.